Okay, why don't we shoot?
I think he's offset. I've got the slate.
Pussy.
The look on your face. Mm-hmm. The look on your face when you said that. Oh, man. This is Should We Just Watch It Real Quick? The only podcast that'll drop a P-bomb in the first 12 seconds of the episode. I am Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to 112 years of vagina school to be called Mr. Thank you very much. And in the blue corner, it's the Italian Gelden. It's Kelly, Big Whoop, Wanna Fight About It, Festuca, who is already yawning on the episode.
Oh, mate, doing some big yawns.
Here she is.
I'm lying in a weird way because Jimmy's on the couch kind of in my way. So I'm kind of on an angle with my legs out because he won't move. And I don't want to make him move because he's cuddling up to his mama.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just been watching Sex in the City and I reckon I rewatched this. What do I eat at the cinema? Oh, Samantha. Not the movies, just the TV show. I reckon I've rewatched it over the last 20 years, I don't know, 10 times. And you got to leave space in between. Like, it's my safe, it's a safe show for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, The American Office, 30 Rock, Mad Men, Sopranos, and Sex and the City. Like, they're safe shows for me to rewatch. Freaks and Geeks. But yeah, I haven't rewatched it probably, I don't know, in a year.
Hmm.
And it's just season one. It's just like so weird. They're talking about being single. Like, she's like 32.
Hmm.
There are no more single guys in their 30s anymore. And the fact that she's just met Big and he's in his 40s, and she's like, there's something about guys in their 40s. They've got it all figured out and they're cool. And guys in their 20s. So the last episode we just watched was she dated a guy in his 20s. And it was actually perfect because it's all about like kissing and he spooned her and it was all sweet. And then when she wakes up, she's like in the light of day, she sees like a 20-something's apartment and it's just gross.
Yeah.
It's like pizza boxes, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, just as I thought I couldn't get any lower, like she's like in the toilet having a wee. Like, just when I thought I couldn't get any lower, it's just the camera pans to the toilet roll, empty.
Yeah.
And you're like, I need toilet paper. And he goes, sorry, babe, I used the last of the toilet paper for the coffee filter. And then you see her just do like the jiggle on the toilet, the kind of like, because as women, like men it's different, but for women, if you don't wipe, you kind of do the jiggle. But then when you put your underwear on, your pee is on your underwear and it's gross. It's real gross. We have to wipe, you know?
Yeah. No, I get that.
But yeah, man, it's still like it's funny because it's old. It's like there's like they don't use bad words in it, but there's definitely some stuff in it where it like it's progressive, but like there's an episode where they go to a drag queen bar for bingo, and one of the drag queens there is a guy that Samantha used to date. And he's based his drag queen persona on her. And
that's genuinely funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. He's like, She's like, oh, what's your drag name? He's like, Samantha. And it looks exactly like her. But it's an interesting episode because they might, like people are like, what's the difference between a tranny and a blah, blah, blah? Like there's stuff like that.
Right.
Because it was 20-something years ago and it's like, you know, it's interesting to see how people have evolved.
Yeah.
Because that's like that word. Tranny is a gross word, and I'm only saying it for because we're, you know, I'm explaining something, but that's it's an offensive word. You wouldn't use that now, and now it's like we're so progressive, like where it's like, you know, you got drag queens, you've got trans women, trans men, you know, and then coming up in a few seasons, she moves to the Meatpacking District, and there's a, it's a quite a, it's like a, on her, out of her street is like a bit of a sex worker row.
Right.
Where, and they're all, it's all very, trans women sex workers.
Right.
And there's a lot of, it's just interesting to see how things have developed. And at the time, this was very progressive.
That was my favorite 80s metal hair band, what? Sex Worker Row.
Aunt Skinny, pop, 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 she just loves to play.
I can say, getting to know you. You know, in the time that we've been together, and we are together.
Shit.
Each time you go through one of these Sex and the City rewatches, I become more open to the show being a classic TV show. There were like, the other day you were watching an episode and there was like a trope where like just random people were talking, like breaking the fourth wall, talking to the camera about whatever the topic of the episode was. I can't remember. I really like that. It's very Woody Allen. I mean, I know we all hate Woody Allen now, but it's very Woody Allen, very New York. And I like that as well. You know, like it's Sex in the City. So we're doing a very New York style of
season
storytelling,
one, yeah.
You know, in the tradition of Woody Allen and blah, 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 blah.
Season one is very New York. The background music is very like jazzy, like the opening scene. It's very film noir, and there's a lot of like they do less of the people talking to camera, but she talks to camera, and then by season two, that's all gone.
Right.
But it's kind of like picked up. It's set the standard. It's picked itself up, but because she's always narrating the episodes, that's, you know, like, and I have to, you know, sit and wonder, what is it like being 35? Like. Because she's still narrating, though, that essence that you're talking about is still there.
Well, even that is in the tradition of, like, the old Howard Hawke PI movies, right, that had Humphrey Bogart in them and stuff. They were always set in, like, Chicago and New York. So,
yeah,
and
it's
the
really
acting is good. Like, the cast are obviously, like, it's a really strong cast.
It's groundbreaking. You go back
it's,
now.
It's like, funny. It's very funny. I, you know, I mean, that show came out when I was 21. 22 pretty misogynistic little rock boy, to be honest, like when I think back on myself then, and I just dismissed the show as like a chick show, you know what I mean? It's like, well, that's a show for chicks, I've got no interest in watching that.
It's a really funny show.
It's a shame because I feel like I probably would have actually really enjoyed it. And then I remember I formed a band with this guy, Jet, that's his actual name. And him and his dad would watch it, right? And I just remember, at the time, this paints me in
a
really bad light. I thought it was hilarious. Like, I teased him relentlessly about it, you know what I mean? And in hindsight, like, he was the cool guy watching the show when I was such a fucking wanker.
It was really groundbreaking because of the stuff that it talked about, but I know this sounds cliche, but the actual dating stuff... Like, whether I'm rewatching it for the watching it for the first time when it came out in 1998. So watching it then, a few years later,
So I was even younger.
So watching it now, it doesn't matter. I honestly tell you, the stuff that they talk about dating wise, it was groundbreaking because no other show really tackled what it was like to date, be in a relationship, be married, be. Like this show.
From the female prerogative.
Yeah, but also they really did show the male side really well as well. But just in that, like you were so used to movies where, you know, everything works out and blah, blah, blah. And like even like the Miranda and Steve relationship was just, you know, she's a lawyer. She's headstrong. She just meets a bartender. He's poor. He's from like Staten Island. No, he's from Brooklyn. Right. So he's just, you know, and just watching a rich chick who's like a lawyer, blah, 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 get with like a poor bartender.
Yeah.
And just the episodes where, you know, it's clear that she has money and he doesn't, like, and it actually causes a divide between them.
It causes problems in the relationship.
Yeah. But then also the fact that he really likes her. He loves that she's strong. And I feel like as women, there's always like parts where we're with men where we feel like we can't be strong because maybe it scares men away. But that's not true. I've dated a lot of men who love the fact that I'm, you know, what's it from South Park? Like strong female lead or what's it? What do they call it? And even I would say you, that's one of the things you love about me is that I am quite strong and I loved seeing it in Sex and the City. No.
Keep thinking that, babe.
That's true. But that's what I love about Sex and the City is that it showed this relationship of this strong woman and this like absolutely beautiful guy and they didn't have much in common but they had each other in common and he just fucking loved her. And it gets to the point where she's just like, what do you want from me? And he's like, is it so hard to understand that I could fucking love you? Like, what's wrong with, like, he tries to break her because she's so strong, you know. That kind of dating relationship thing, I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
Like, that, the Sex in the City, it was a first for a lot of stuff. And the fuckery of big, what I fucking love about the Big and Carrie relationship in the first three seasons is that we all of us, whether we're married now or not or whatever, or divorced, we all have those relationships that we had in our teens, 20s, 30s, whenever, where we kept going back and we shouldn't have.
We kept going back.
And it just destroys you and then you have to try and move on. That's what this show did. And they did it so fucking well where she wasn't pathetic. She was just like so in love with him and she just could not get him to love her back. And then he moves on so fucking quickly with a 20-something-year-old woman, a model of all things, like just heartbreaking. Like this is one of the most realistic shows that's ever been created. The movies are now just like that, you know, I'm into it, whatever, but it's more farcical. The show is A+.
Yeah.
I want every fucking kid, boy or girl, to watch it before they go into puberty just to understand what fucking life is like and how to treat people because it shows you how to treat people, how not to treat people, what's bad, what's good. Man, A+. Five grams of Sex and the City forever.
I don't hate it, especially along with like your other safe shows. Actually, most of your safe shows I like. Just The Sopranos, I don't like.
That episode that you walked in on was a really good episode where they talk about men who just date models, which I guess in New York is common because she says that. She's like, you know, you're used to seeing models on the billboards, but when you live in New York, they're everywhere. They're amongst us. They're living amongst the normal people.
Yeah.
And then it just cuts to Miranda going, Carrie going to Miranda, you're on a date with a modelizer and you didn't even know it? What's wrong with you? She's like, I didn't know. Like, because it's just like guys who only date models is just such a don't. It's not no because they're just fucked in the head, these guys. Anyway, it's just really – and it's funny. Like weird stuff like she goes away with her – she's got a married couple and they live in the Hamptons. So she goes, you know, you go there, you got to sing for your supper. So she's like telling them stories about dating, whatever. The next morning, she catches the husband pantless on the way to the bathroom. And he's like, good morning. And he's just got no pants on. He's got his dick out. And then like nothing's happened. It's so good because like, because you laugh. And then she's just like, she tells the wife. She's like, oh, you know, oops, I caught your husband on the way to the bathroom this morning. And he had his dick out. You know, like walked past me, just didn't have pants on. And the wife goes, again, like he does it whenever they have a guest over. He just walks like he likes it. He likes people to catch him with his dick out. But he's like, anyway, it's just funny.
Yeah,
it's just funny, man. It's funny. Anyway, A+. That is
funny. And
what have you been watching this week?
The minutiae of that.
Oh.
Like it's interesting. Like it's an everyday thing, but there's like a slight – it's almost Seinfeldian in this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the sense of like he had his dick out. The conversation now when I watch it now, it's almost like because it came out basically at the time where Seinfeld was finishing, you could almost like it's almost like She-Ra to Seinfeld's He-Man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In the sense of like, it's a very similar kind of show. Yeah. It's about the minutiae of dating and friendship and stuff like that. There's more heart to it than there is Seinfeld.
Oh, 100%. Seinfeld,
there is zero
heart.
They're
much more likable characters. Like,
yeah, but I mean, Seinfeld's meant to be like that. But anyway, but the conversation's about like, he didn't have any pants on. Yeah. No pants. Nothing at all. Like, it's that kind of...
And it's funny. Like,
yeah.
There's just so many elements of... Like they're funny together, you know, and like they are likable. But if you ask people, like a lot of people say they hate Carrie because she's, especially the stuff that happens with Big, you know, she keeps going back to him, and you hate her because you're like, grow up, stop doing that. But we've all done that.
Yeah,
we've all gone back, and there's even an episode where. Miranda.
That's probably a human being seeing themselves in a character and hating it, you know?
You know what? And the thing is, when that happens, there's an episode where Carrie and Miranda have like a really big fight where she's like, that's it, Carrie. You go back to him. I'm not here for you.
Oh,
I'm done.
I've been in that position before.
And she's like, I can't. But
it doesn't work out well, guys.
Yeah.
Don't give your friends ultimatums.
Yeah, it's real bad.
It never works out well.
But you know what I mean? And then but just the fact that they have this argument and they're like best friends, you know, and it's beautiful because we are just so angry at Carrie for doing this because we're like, wake up. And then we don't have to, you know, because Miranda is us, you know, like there's that kind of, yeah. But and I feel like, God, I sound like such a ugh right now, but because it's four of them, everyone always talked about how it's like, who are you? Are you a Miranda? You are, because Charlotte was always very, you know, the sweet one, wants to get married. Miranda was strong-headed. Carrie was a mess and Samantha's the slut. You know, like, who are you? I'm like, well, I'd like to think that I have the coolness of Carrie. And
yeah.
It's good, man. And I feel like educationally, it's just a really good show about how to, there's feelings that they discuss in this show about, like, even stuff like when Big gets married to that chick and it's in the paper and she's just, like, going through the paper and just sees it without, isn't prepared for it. And it just, and even like, you know, it doesn't matter how happy you are in your new relationship, when you see an ex that you had a life with move on, there's something that still in your head just goes, ooh, that's rough. Not that you, like, I look at that stuff now and go, oh, thank God. Like, thank God they're happy. Thank God I'm happy. That's great. But when you're not, so in this case, you know, she's still single, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Like I went through a phase where every guy I dated, it felt like every chick he went with after me, they like got married and stuff. And it's heartbreaking because you go, what was wrong with me? Why couldn't I do it? Oh, but
baby,
luckily...
There's so many things wrong with you.
But luckily I was just waiting for the right fucking dickhead to come along and take me to a
just
French restaurant.
To find, another crazy person.
I know.
To be walking around Fitzroy and they'll be like, we could be crazy together.
It's also like, it's interesting because we had a barbecue with his sister last night. Mm-hmm. I was talking about like traveling and like traveling together and traveling with other people. And I think that me and Damien have, you know, really like, we found each other and we're the best people for each other and we love each other. But when we started traveling, we really started to understand each other in the best possible way because, and I said this to your sister last night, I think that because we were single for so long that when it comes to traveling, we're still in the best possible way, very selfish that we only want to do the things we want to do, but it makes us good travelers, makes us excellent travelers because at the beginning of the day, Damien will go, I want to check out this area and maybe like, you know, go to an arcade or look at some coffee stuff. And I'm like, my brain goes, I don't want to do that. I want to do something else. So very confidently.
Don't do that. Do something else.
Don't do that. Do something else. But I can very confidently, without hurting his feelings, go, okay, I might go do this. Let's hook up for lunch and then we talk about our day. And then Damien's like, great, because neither one of us, we're so selfish, neither one of us wants to do anything we don't want to do. And I would never drag.
That's
No.
I don't want to start an argument. I don't know if that's true, because I feel like when we went on our first overseas trip together, I think there was a lot of compromise. I think both of us compromised a lot. You know, it's like, hey, I'd really like to do this thing. Yeah, okay, I'll do that.
I feel you've
commented on that. Of like, why can't holiday Damien be everyday Damien?
I feel like we got the best of both worlds. Like, where I'm
not being crushed by a job that I hate.
Because I think we did get the best of both worlds, where, you know, you were like, maybe we can do this, and I'm like, okay, that sounds great. So we did. We were really good at, like, you came along to my things, I came along to your things, but when there were times where we just wanted to be on our own, we did it, and we did it well. Whereas I feel like when I hear people traveling and it's like, oh, this person didn't want to do what they wanted to do and then they were sulking and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, why don't you just go your separate ways and just hook up at the end of the day?
Yeah.
I do not understand that.
No, I think it's an important lesson and we're still learning it. Mm. I think it's an important relationship thing, like, rule to learn of, like, you can say no as long as you say it in a nice way, you know? Like, as long as it's, like, like, if someone says, like, this morning, you're going to go check out these, like, butchers and cake makers and stuff that my sister was telling you about.
Mm.
I don't particularly want to go because I've gone once before and it didn't blow my socks off.
Yeah, so, and that's fine.
I'm going to go for a run. You're going to do that. Yeah. As long as the conversation's had, then it's all good.
Yeah, because I'm like, you know, like if you said to me, hey, I'm going to go to High Point because I've got to go JB, do this, I would go, oh, I might come with you. Great. You know what I mean? It's my choice. I want to go with you and do that. But if I'm like, I don't have to go, do I? Like, it's, we've got a good, you know what I mean? Anyway, what did you watch this week?
We've got a goofy kind of love. Okay, I know this is the third week in a row that I've talked about this. I finished Andor. Guys.
Really?
I had one episode left last week. I watched the final episode. It's the best episode of the season. Andor is not only the best piece of Star Wars, whatever you want to call it, art, content, whatever. What I love about this show is that Tony Gilroy and the writers have managed to essentially write a socialist manifesto in the form of a Star Wars show and then just stick it on Disney Plus. Basically condemning the, you know, capitalistic empire that is America on one of their biggest exports, which is Disney. You know what I mean? There's so much going on there. I know it's a show that probably could be read as a libertarian thing as well if you wanted to. I mean, most good art can be read in numerous different ways. Anyway, I know that will put a lot of people off watching the show. You don't have to read it that way. You can just watch it as, like, a great sci-fi show, and it is. The casts are amazing. It's so well written. If you've seen Michael Clayton or anything that Tony Gilroy's done, the dialogue is amazing. People bang on and on and on about Aaron Sorkin being the master of sort of adult dialogue. Mm. I think Tony Gilroy is, and Andor is another example of that. The second season comes out next year. I wasn't in that Rogue One group where people were like, Rogue One is a work of genius. There are some great scenes in it and it's interesting and I think it's a little more adult. Put it this way, it's a better film than the majority of the latest trilogy that we got. But Andor is...
Really? I'm so surprised.
I love it so much and I'm disappointed in myself. This is something I have to get better at. I need to take more chances with things. I can't just rely on other people. Like, the only reason I watched this is because a podcast that I love were talking about how much they loved the first episode and so I started watching it and bang, I loved it. I need to start taking more chances on... I don't know if you get this. I will be so... immobilized with the fear of choice.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't watch anything. Or I end up watching like SummerSlam 1988 again. You know what I mean? And as much as I love wrestling and it's an escape for me, I know I'm going to be on my deathbed and be like, Kelly, come here. I have to tell you something.
I watched it.
I watched too much wrestling. You know what I mean? because Andor fulfilled me. Like, it got me back in love. Like, it rekindled my love of Star Wars.
Mm.
Because I think I'd said on this podcast, I definitely said it to you, of like, I think I'm done with Marvel and Star Wars and, you know, and the thing that we're about to talk to in a second kind of did that for Marvel a little bit, but I don't know. Anyway, we'll get to that. I just fucking love Andor. I love Andor so much. I'm not going to – this will be the last time I talk about it until the second season comes out next year. If you just want to watch a good adult show – that is dramatic and has amazing characters that you'll fall in love with, and some of the best villains going around in TV since Game of Thrones. Mm. There are people in this show that you will fucking hate, and you'll love every second of hating them. I haven't watched anything else. My job is crazy. I'm trying to get a bloody autism diagnosis. I've got all this other stuff going on in my life. You know, hanging out with my girl. We're going to see Coldplay tonight.
Oh, my God. Coldplay.
Coldplay.
Only because we've got free tickets.
Are you ready for some middle-of-the-road rock and roll?
And it was all yellow.
Well, I don't think we're going to stick around for the encore. Yellow's in the encore.
Oh, is it?
Oh, no, it's not. It's in the first way. Anyway, me and Kelly are such fucking middle-aged boomers.
We're not going to stay the whole time,
that's for sure. We have planned out the whole night. Like, it's a military operation, and we're leaving at the encore because we looked up the set list, and there's no real songs that we want to watch in the encore. Anyway, Andor, great, fantastic. The other thing that we watched almost like a week and a half ago now, and we haven't talked about it on the podcast at all, was Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah. That's a sign.
Yeah, right. We both completely forgot.
What a sign.
That we'd watched it.
Mm.
I think I might have briefly mentioned that I watched it at the cinema.
We said that we'd watch it together. Well, yeah, we have now watched it together.
Well, tell me what you think.
What do I think of? I've just got a massive yawn. I'm sorry, guys. What do I think of Wolverine, Deadpool? I had high hopes for it, and I thought it was fine. I actually didn't think it was, you know, there were funny bits in it, but I didn't feel like it was very, you know, strongly ha-ha funny all the way through. And I still don't get the whole timeline of what was happening. It's just too... It's too busy.
Yeah.
It's too farcical. Like,
yep.
It's just dumb joke after dumb joke. You know, I like the kind of the callback to other stuff happening. And there's something about, like, I can only handle half an hour of Ryan Reynolds' little quips before I get tired of it.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I don't know. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, all
right. He's right behind me, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. There's just a lot of that kind of stuff. I really like Hugh Jackman.
I'm horizontally challenged, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it had Tom in it from Succession, which I love.
Yeah.
Shiv, hey Shiv, it's Tom. Tom, Shiv. He's in it, which is great. But I don't know, man. I just was like, what is this? What is this? What is the fucking narrative and the story that's stuck in a paradoxical world, and this is like that, and it just... It's too... My suspension of disbelief was not strong enough to sufficiently enjoy the film.
This is like that at Deadpool. Mm. Allow me to try and explain a little bit of what's going on in the movie.
Here we go.
I agree with you. Watching it the second time... Jim, come on, man. Watching it a second time at home... I was completely nonplussed. I actually really enjoyed it watching in the cinema. I was like, oh, great. This is actually a really fun Marvel film. It feels like I'm kind of back on board a little bit. Watching it again here, all of the problems that you just brought up, I totally agree with. I think it's especially if you haven't watched every single minute of every single piece of Marvel IP out there. If you haven't, like, if you haven't watched Loki,
which I haven't,
which I forced myself to watch to the end of the second season and did not really enjoy it at all. I mean, you don't have to watch, like, I'm sure there's people listening to this going, I feel like you need to have some knowledge of what's going on to really be across it. Essentially, the people who show up from the timeline administration or whatever, the guy from Succession, they're kind of like the multiverse cops. So they sort of make sure that all the timelines are correct, present and correct. And so you kind of have to have watched Loki to know that, because they don't really explain it in the film. And then essentially where Deadpool and Wolverine get banished to is like, it's meant to be like purgatory, like superhero purgatory. And that's why all the people from the 20th century Fox films in the 90s and stuff are in there. You've got, this is spoilers for Deadpool and Wolverine, by the way, because we're about to spoil a whole bunch of cameos. You've got Chris Evans's Johnny Storm from Fantastic Four there. You've got Blade. You've got Elektra. You've got...
man, what's her name? Jennifer Garner?
Yeah.
Man, she's... like, she's gorgeous.
I watched a video where she... I mean, obviously, it's publicity for the film, but they... She started getting in shape 12 months before this film, and it
she's already like, in shape. Like, she's already.
She said that, but she was like, "I was in pretty good shape, but I wasn't in Marvel shape." And there's like clauses in their contracts and stuff that like they have to be, they have to look a certain way, you know.
Like, she's able to like spin those things that she uses, and but you just watch her videos on TikTok and stuff about her. Like, she has a big
katanas or but size.
She's gorgeous.
No, they're size. Sorry.
Like, she just katanas. Seems like a real, she's like, I'm making bread today. Like, she just seems like a sweet, sweet lady.
Yeah. So there's a lot of cameos. Like, everything that you would, everything that you've come to expect from the first Deadpool films, but this has the weight of the of Marvel behind it, because it's an official Marvel thing. There are some scenes that I really enjoyed. Ryan Reynolds essentially talking to the camera and telling Fox to go fuck themselves was an enjoyable thing. where he's like, we headbutts the camera and he's like, I'm going to Disneyland. Like, that's, I like that's, that kind
that
of
was
stuff.
Fun.
But I do agree with you. By the time we're halfway through the film, you are 100% Wolverine, you know, in the sense of like, shut up, just shut the fuck up. Please stop talking. I can't handle you. And at the end of the film, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine sort of, Deadpool's kind of like, are we still going to be friends? Are we going to hang out? And Wolverine walks away. And then, of course, he comes back and they end up being friends. But that's kind of how I felt this second time around, where I was like, okay, I've spent my time with Deadpool. I'm happy to, like, move on. Sorry, Jimmy's... cracking about something. I think Deadpool is a very I think Deadpool is a very heavy flavor, and I think it should be used to garnish other things in the Marvel universe rather than, do you know what I mean? Like, have him show up in other Marvel stuff rather than but this film did billions of dollars in profit, so we're going to get another 3 films, a TV series. We're like, the thing that I found a little bit disappointing as like a nerd comic book guy was that this film was meant to sort of reset Marvel, because Marvel, I don't know if anyone's paid attention or as much as I have, but Marvel's not doing particularly well at the moment.
Because it's just getting boring now.
Because it's shit. And this is what happens with the comics. You either need to have a continuous Captain America show or Iron Man show or whatever to keep people interested. Or you need to back off a bit. But they're not going to back off because... it makes money. But all the people, all the initial actors that made that initial run of Marvel like such a big hit don't want to play You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Chris Evans doesn't want to play Captain America until he's fucking 60.
Yeah.
You know, Scarlett Johansson doesn't want to play the Black Widow anymore. Like, they... And that's fair enough. They did their time. They earned their millions of dollars, and now they're going to go off and do other shit, you know? Like, so Marvel is in desperate need of being able to find another rung of people who can interest people in the Marvel Universe, and they've kind of found it with Deadpool and Ryan Reynolds, but they don't have anything else. Nothing spun out of this, you know what I mean? Like, so Hugh Jackman's still Wolverine at the age of fucking 60 or whatever? Like, what's going on?
Like, it's,
And they sort of make jokes about, like, I mean, it's Ryan Reynolds and it's Deadpool, so it's all sort of, what's the word, meta. Like, it's all very meta, where, like, Ryan Reynolds is saying to Hugh Jackman, like, Disney's going to make you do this until you're 90. And that's a funny joke, but also a terrifying thought that I don't want to watch Hugh Jackman as Wolverine until he's 90.
How does he keep in shape like that?
It's got to be steroids.
Right. It's crazy.
It's got to be steroids.
Fucking massive.
There's a scene at the end of the film, and again, they joke around about it, where Daredevil's kind of constantly talking about, like, he has let himself go since the divorce, which, I don't know, that's, if Hugh Jackman's cool with that joke, then I suppose it's fine.
Jesus.
But,
yeah.
At the end of the film, they have to save the day by essentially inserting themselves in this generator, and Hugh Jackman's shirt flies off, and he looks amazing. Like, he looks phenomenal.
I still don't know what it's about. Like,
what is the actual plot of the film?
Yeah, it's just, I can't be fucked, like, with it, and I just...
You kind of switch off, and they do sort of say, like, what in the, like, you know, Daredevil makes a joke of, like, what in the MacGuffin is that? And it's like, it's a time ripper. You know what I mean? So someone's created, like, the guy from Succession has created this thing called a time ripper, which means that, like, he can deconstruct, like, he can basically kill timelines completely. And so Daredevil and Wolverine have to, like, kill that so Daredevil can save his timeline. I think that is the story.
Yeah, I just, I'm kind of like, meh about
it. The multiverse fucking sucks, man.
Yeah,
the multiverse,
I hate all that stuff.
Has sucked. It's a very, I mean, it gets used in comics all the time, and that's why you, as you grow up, you sort of move away from comics, because you get let down all the time by sort of lazy.
I feel like it's an easy way out.
Like this,
yeah,
right?
It's easy way out. Like, when we watched that Doctor Strange movie, I felt like that's the capacity of my multiverse bullshit. That I can't do any more than that. And this one here, I felt like you had to, like, be a massive Marvel nerd or DC nerd to actually all the side jokes and stuff, and I just can't be fucked with it.
Yeah.
Like, I just want a fun movie with silliness and dumb shit. And also, Beetlejuice number 2, take note, the dancing scene, the bye bye bye, the NSYNC thing, that's how you do a dance sequence. It's short, it's funny, it's hilarious. Beetlejuice 2 had that one where, like, leaving the cake out in the rain. It went for, like, half an hour.
Yeah, gosh.
And it was so bad. Like, take note. At least Deadpool. At least Deadpool knows how to do that.
Yeah.
Like, that was a really, that was fun.
If you like Ryan Reynolds and you like Deadpool, you'll like this film.
Yeah.
But from a filmic standpoint, like,
meh.
What is the plot?
Like, yeah, for me it was very meh.
And where does everything stand in the Marvel universe, like, as a Marvel nerd who's kind of watched everything, I was kind of excited to be like, okay, cool. Well, this is meant to reset everything. So where will we? And then at the end of the film, I was like, okay, well, the only thing that's really been, like, nothing's been reset except the fact that Wolverine now exists in.
Yeah. And listen, I get the nostalgia. Like, it's like, nostalgia is really fun. Nostalgia of NSYNC and, like, having Elektra and all those people come back. I get that. It's not enough.
No, it's not enough. And also, like, I mean, I love the first Blade film, but all of those Fox X-Men films and stuff that Reynolds was kind of seemed to be making a point about, they weren't great. I mean, the first couple of X-Men films were okay, but everything else sucked. All the Wolverine films sucked.
God,
Elektra sucked.
How,
Daredevil sucked. Like, happy I could go on and on.
How happy would you be if you were like Wesley Snipes right now? Like, he would just be, like, so happy that, like, hey, gets the call. Hey, new Deadpool Wolverine film. We're going to bring Blade back. He must have come in his pants.
There's meant to be a new Blade film, but it's been in production hell for, like, 3 years. Now the story is that they're going to make another Blade with Wesley Snipes.
Ugh, can't be bothered, guys.
Wesley Snipes is great. He's a great action star, and, like, he went to jail for tax fraud. You know what I mean? It's not like he fucking murdered anyone or anything. Like, he's done his time. Robert Downey Jr. went to jail and came back and was a star. Yeah. Fucking Wesley Snipes.
How many grumps do you give it?
Let Wesley act, motherfuckers.
How many grumps?
After watching it in the cinema, I would have said 4, but after watching it here,
I'm gonna say 2.
2.5.
I'll give it 2. That's all I want to give it.
Yeah,
I was actually kind of bored in it. I just didn't get it. Man. Same. I just don't.
I'll be fair and give it 3. I'll give it 3.
2 grumps from me.
But middling. I think Marvel is still in a lot of trouble.
Write something new.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Well, we saw the slate for next year, and it's more of the same. I'm excited about Daredevil, but like Wonder Man, like no one cares about Wonder Man. Anyway, I don't know. Could be good. Who knows?
I'm just not interested anymore. I want something else.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, all right.
I think it might be good for the industry for Marvel to die a little bit. Anyway,
I think it would be fun to run a newspaper.
You know what we say when Kelly's got a potty, it's time to end the potty.
Yay! All right.
Even on a jet plane. We love you very much.
I'm getting a headache too. All right. Thanks for listening. We love you guys.
Love you very much. People are saying that we're ending the podcast.
People are saying it's good. We love you. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Share all lots of stuff. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Love you.
Bye. Love you.